It's Christmas Eve. Welcome to Candle Night. Welcome to Red Tie Night. Welcome to Safe Harbor Church. We're glad you're here. We're going to spend this evening in what's known as Lessons and Carols. We're going to trace through Scripture the great promise of a Messiah, an anointed one, and then the fulfillment of that promise this evening through the Lord Jesus Christ and His coming. Let me begin by praying for us. Father, we thank You for this annual reminder that You are not only a promising God, but You are also a faithful God. And the Lord Jesus Himself described Christmas by saying, "A body Thou hast prepared for Me, O God. I have come to do Thy will." And so now we celebrate the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ and His willingness to become fully human as well as fully God, to live a sinless life so that He may be a perfect sacrifice for our sins. And it all begins tonight. Father, will You bless us this evening with a sense of Your presence, with an understanding of Your Scriptures, and with joyful and thankful hearts as we have the blessing of singing about these promises and their fulfillment. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to begin by singing, "O Come All Ye Faithful." Would you stand together, please? Now it's our joy, and I want to invite up the Rowell family. You back here, Chrissy? And they're going to do the Advent candle. And the last one is the Christ candle, because we are there. And while she does that, while they do this, let me introduce this to you. Beloved in Christ, on this Christmas Eve, let it be our care and delight to hear again the message of the angels, and in heart and in mind, go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, and the babe lying in a manger. Therefore, let us read and mark in Holy Scripture the tale of the loving purposes of God from the first days of our disobedience until the glorious redemption brought us by this holy child. It's done. We're at Christmas. Thank you. Well done. This is the first lesson. God announces in the Garden of Eden that the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. Genesis chapter 3. This is Adam and Eve, if you hadn't met them before. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And Adam answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid." And he said, God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded that you not eat from?" And the man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Let's stand together and sing, "Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus." Please be seated. The second step in this ages-long story. God promises to faithful Abraham that in his seed shall the nations of the earth be blessed. From Genesis chapter 22. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Please remain seated and we'll sing, Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Music, isn't it? Here now, the third lesson. The prophet Micah foretells the glory of the little town of Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelite. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. Amen. Let us sing together, O little town of Bethlehem. Time I'm going to get me a chair up here. Where am I? The angel Gabriel salutes the Virgin Mary. Now, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call his name Jesus, Joshua, God saves. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will have no end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." And Mary answered, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Hark, the herald angels sing. Would you stand together as we sing?
The fifth lesson Matthew tells of the birth of Jesus. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Please remain seated for while shepherds watch their flocks by night. Lesson 6, the shepherds go to the manger, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger.
Oh,
Thank you, Lydia and Greg. Now the seventh lesson. The wise men are led to the star by the star to Jesus. Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, "For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Would you join with me in prayer as Pastor Jerry comes forward to bring the word this evening? Heavenly Father, this is the evening that we've spent all of Advent preparing for. The magnitude of the significance of this evening, of what Christmas represents and calls to mind, is so significant we need a month plus to prepare our hearts. And even then, we can scarcely take it in. Heavenly Father, we pray that your Spirit would come now, that you would be upon Pastor Jerry as he comes and brings the word to us tonight. And we pray that you would open our ears and help us to hear the message of Christmas, the message that you have for each one of us this evening. That this wouldn't be just another Christmas Eve candlelight service, but it would be an evening where the word of God has penetrated hearts and worked in a miraculous, heart transformational way tonight, even now, in Christ's name. Amen.
We're going to close this evening, as we usually do, with a song that has these words: "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace." And when you leave tonight, our parting words to you are going to be, "Go in peace." We want peace for you. We want peace for ourselves. Peace in our hearts. Peace with God. Peace with each other. Some of you are hoping for a peaceful family gathering. And yet, if you look back, it wasn't really peaceful hearts for a lot of the characters involved. It was actually a scary Christmas, like a spooky Halloween. For example, look at Herod. This is what it says about Herod. "When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him." Disturbed, upset, worried, because another king had been born. And back then, when a king was born and took the throne, he didn't just exile you or give you a pension and Secret Service protection. He killed you and your son and your brothers and sisters and nephews and nieces and cousins. Wipes out the whole dynasty. So Herod was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And he was so disturbed that when he couldn't find out where exactly Jesus was, he sent a group of soldiers out there and they killed every child in Jerusalem under 2 years old. Look at Mary. Mary was greatly troubled at his words of the angel and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Now, why do you tell someone, "Do not be afraid"? Because they are afraid. That's the adjective. The noun is fear. It was scary for Mary. Not only was she in the presence of an angel, but he's talking about weird things here, not having a child and not being married. Look at Joseph. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." And when they tell someone, "Do not be afraid," it's because you're afraid. Look at the shepherds. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." The word terrified, I love the King James, it says they were sore afraid, S-O-R-E. That means they were shaking. You know, like a big workout on top of a triathlon, on top of a pentathlon, the next morning they hurt all over because they were trembling so hard. They were terrified. Does that sound to you like a sleep in heavenly peace type event? It was a scary Christmas. Well, why was everybody so scared? I'll give you two reasons. First is simply the power of God. God is sovereign. Psalm 115 says, "Our God is in heaven, and he does whatever pleases him." Now, that doesn't go over well with a king. King has plans, purposes, projects. And here comes a sovereign God who will do whatever he wills. Now, if you sometimes lack peace, or I do, it might be because we are not convinced that this sovereign God cares about us, knows about us, or is able to accomplish what he promised. So we either doubt him or we oppose him. We're in conflict with his purpose for our lives. Now that causes being troubled, afraid, fearsome, conflict. That's what happened to Herod, isn't it? The sovereignty of God is very challenging to us. The other reason that's the sovereignty of God, this is the humanity, the fear of God. If he's sovereign and we're human, he has all power, we have so little. He lives forever, we live short lives. Then that makes us realize something. The scripture calls it fear of God. Not an abject, groveling fear, but understanding that we're in the presence of someone who can do what he said he would do. And if we don't like what he said he was going to do, then that's going to cause conflict. But if we like what he's doing, or we trust what he's doing because we trust him, then the scripture says the fear of God, that kind of fear leads to life. So the question before us is this a fearful, scary Christmas? The idea of the sovereign king of the universe coming, breaking into our world and our lives? Or is it a fear of God that brings life because now someone has come who will fulfill the promises, who has the power to make things right now and in the future? I heard about one guy who was opposed to everything God did. He was probably an atheist, and he said, he was a farmer. He said, "I plow my fields, and God has nothing to do with it. I plant my seed in the grow, and God has nothing to do with it. And I harvest in October, and God has nothing to do with it." And his friend said, "Well, God doesn't always make his bills come due in October. He's got a longer plan than that. You're looking at your human measure. He's got a long plan. You don't need to worry about October. You need to worry about 1,000 years from now where you're at and who's in charge. Well, let's talk about the Prince of Peace for a moment. First of all, he brings peace in a sovereign way. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. When Jesus Christ returns, it will be a sovereign peace. Psalm 2, I have appointed my king, and he will rule with an iron scepter. Kiss him, O you kings, lest he be wrathful and destroy you. When Jesus returns the second time, there will be no question. He will be in charge. Now, again, with Herod, that's a scary idea, considering he tried to kill him. But if we want his rule and his reign and his righteousness, that kind of peace is very encouraging, isn't it? That's the kind of peace that we want. There's a second kind of peace, a peace with God. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, justified through faith. Not by working for it, because our forefathers already demonstrated we can't keep God's law, the reflection of his character, perfectly in our mind, whole, soul, heart, and strength at all times and always. We have a gene. It's called a fallen human nature inherited from our forebears. And we can't do it. So Jesus did it for us. But how does that transfer of his righteousness to us and our sin to him, how does that affect it? Because each one of us has a choice in the matter. Scripture calls it believing or faith, saying, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that I need a Savior, and I believe that you are the one and only Savior. Will you forgive my sins and be my Savior? Will you take my sins in exchange for your righteousness? That is faith reaching out and grabbing what is already there. And that's how we have peace with God. Wouldn't that be great? To go to bed tonight and have peace with God, the sovereign king of the universe. To not fear and reject him the way Herod did, but to embrace him the way Joseph did, and Mary did, and the shepherds did. As a matter of fact, to be clear about it, there lies a choice before you that God has given you. To take the way of Herod, live in fear, reject, rebel, or to accept the way of Joseph and Mary and the shepherds and rejoice at this sovereign God breaking into your life. To have peace with God or not, what would you consider doing? If you do accept Christ, the Savior, then John 14:27 says you can have inner peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. See, when that song comes there at the end and it says, sleep in heavenly peace, that is the kind of peace he's talking about. Not a worldly peace that's based on circumstances, but a heavenly peace that's based on a sovereign God. Because unless there's a sovereign God, then no peace is real peace, because it could be snatched away any moment. But a peace knowing that there's a sovereign God in control, he's powerful, he's personal, he's purposeful. He's powerful and can keep his promises. He's personal and knows each and every one of you. And he's purposeful. He has a purpose for this whole creation, this whole universe, and for your and my individual lives. To know him through Jesus Christ, that's peace. That can bring peace to your heart. You can sleep tonight in heavenly peace, because that Christ candle was lit. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for sending your Son. Jesus, thank you for coming. Holy Spirit, would you work in our minds and hearts to understand this, to reach out and grasp it and take Jesus for our own Savior, to accept His sovereignty in our lives. Give us peace, we ask, in Christ's name. Amen.
Before our final song, as is our tradition here at Safe Harbor, we sing Silent Night together, we light candles. I'd like to read from the Gospel of John. Would you please stand for the reading and also for our final song? Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning Him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of His fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
Silent. Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace,
God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, we want to thank, I'm going to light this thing, hang on, just a second. You guys can blow your candles out, just hold your hand behind the candle there. We want to thank you all for joining us in this this evening, a very special evening, this most holy night. We would like to invite you. We know we get a lot of visitors on Christmas Eve. We would welcome you to worship this Sunday at 9:30 a.m. right here. We would love to have you. Hope that this would be a hospitable place for you and your family. And having said that, as I send us off tonight with this benediction, please hear this as we go. May you be filled with the wonder of Mary, the obedience of Joseph, the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the determination of the Magi, and the peace of the Christ child. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Merry Christmas, and go in peace.